Death and darkness were my only song. Well, good morning, TPC. It is great to see everybody here this morning, and you may be seated. For all of our guests this morning, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Mike, and I want to be among the first to welcome you here this morning, and I want to let you know how excited we are to see you here. And if you are one of those guests, what we'd like for you to do right now is take a moment and complete one of our connection cards, and here's how you're going to do it. You're going to text TPCDQ to 84576. Again, that's TPCDQ to 84576. And this is going to allow us to connect with you, and we'll be able to let you know about upcoming events, things of that nature. And when you do that, you're able to submit some prayer requests to us, and we'll make sure that we're praying for your needs here at TPC. And you're going to receive a gift card in the mail as well. I believe it was a $5 gift card, I think, that you may receive. So make sure, if you're a guest this morning, to text TPCDQ to 84576. And if some of you have noticed already, the Nealands are not here this morning. They are not sick. Everything's okay. They just had a pretty big weekend, you know, as you know. And for those of you that were able to make Trey and Brooke's wedding yesterday, thank you for coming. It was a beautiful wedding. And if you've been through that process, you know that a lot goes into it with planning, preparation, and everything the day of. And then their anniversary is this week as well. So they're just taking a few days, and they'll be back, and they're looking forward to back-to-school prayer next week. I'm thankful that I won't have to go through that one day, because I've already told Audrey, you're not getting married. That's the bottom line. It just ain't happening. But I know she's going to override me on that decision one day, and what Daddy says ain't going to matter. So, but back-to-school prayer, speaking of, they said they are looking forward to back-to-school prayer, and that's going to be next Sunday, August the 15th. And so for that service next week, all of our children are going to be here in the sanctuary, so there's going to be no Sunday school next week because of back-to-school prayer. And we also ask you to check out our website. If you go there, you'll notice we have some T-shirts, some cups, some hats, some totes, lots of merchandise there on the website. We don't make much off of it. There's just a little bit of profit that comes back to the church. And what we do make off of it is going to our build fund to help build our new sanctuary and our new Sunday school with the construction that's going on next door. So if you want to go check some of that out, you're free to do that. And if our ushers go ahead and come forward at this time. Since the Nealands are not here, I have some exciting news for you. We have Brother Tyler Stevenson here. And he always does a phenomenal job. He is one of our favorites here at TPC, so we're excited to have him. And before we receive our offering, we're going to bring some needs before the Lord. Here's the names that we need to be praying for this week. Brother Robert Gamble, James Perkins, Bob Jones, Pat Duett, Carolyn Pikus, Pete Van Winkle, Teresa Kraft, Rodney Austin, Theda Havings, Anna Klein-Peter, Paul and Annette, was that Dronet, I believe, and Sister June Whitman. So if you don't mind, why don't we just lift up our hands right now and bring these deeds before the Lord. God, as a prayer of faith goes out this morning, Lord, we're believing that healing is visiting each and one of those people that were prayed over this morning. God, we know that you work many mighty miracles, God, and we're believing that we're going to see it here at TBC. So I pray that you bring healing and comfort to every name that we've called out before you this morning, Lord. We believe that you are touching them in this very moment. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And ushers, you can take up the offerings.
Take my feet,
touch my heart,
Lord, speak. you hallelujah. Why don't we clap our hands unto the Lord right now? All over this building, fill this place with praise. Hallelujah. How many know that God's a good God? I've heard people say before, how come bad things happen to good people? You ever heard that? Because we try to process who God is through the realm of human logic. But Scripture says that His ways are higher than our ways. And His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And people say, well, why do bad things happen to good people? But why do good things happen to bad people? It's all in how you look at it. And if we're not careful, we'll let the lens through which we view God become marred by our own misunderstandings. And we'll let frustration and what we can't control paint a picture of a God that is not who He really is. How many know God's a good God this morning? He's a just God. There's a song that I'm not a singer, okay? I can ask people to sing, but I can't sing. But I want them to come sing a song this morning that's been on my heart, because I got the mic and I can do this, okay? There's a song called The Goodness of God. Anybody ever heard it? We're going to sing that. And when they sing that, not we, they're going to sing that. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to just think about this, because over the next few moments, we're going to start letting the Holy Ghost clean our lens through which we view everything. Amen. Lift your hands as they begin to sing right now. Father, over the next few moments, we want Your Spirit to come in here and adjust our perspective and clean the lens through which we view everything. Come on, singers, sing it.
For Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in Your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life You have been faithful. All my life, all my life You have been so good.
Come on, has he been faithful to you? Let's worship him together, shall we? All my life he's been faithful. When I wasn't faithful, he was still faithful. He's a faithful God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. As you remain standing, we go to the word of the Lord together. We'll turn our attention to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. I give honor to your pastor, his wife. So thankful for them, and got to see them yesterday at the wedding. And I'd certainly understand how much work would probably go into one. Never done it yet, but I've got four girls, so that might be a possibility in the future. My oldest is 16. She texted me yesterday. She got her first little car. She texted me yesterday. She said, "Hey, Daddy, ... This is fixing to be a loaded text. I know it. She said, "I went to Sonic." You know, because when you first get your license, you think driving's fun. And you just look for reasons to go drive, especially when you're not paying the gas. You just look for reasons to go drive. When you're paying the gas, it's like, do I really want to go to Dairy Queen right now? She said, "I got too close to a green pole at Sonic, but Daddy, it's okay. This, it'll buff out. It's just a little tiny, tiny, tiny speck." And so you got one or two options. You can hit the roof, which isn't going to do any good. So I just text back, "Congratulations on your first accident." It's like when you buy a new vehicle, the first thing you do is just go out there and start keying it. Go ahead and get it over with. Done. I'm just joking. But I love my family, and they send their regards. Thankful to be here today. I feel the Lord has given me something that would help someone here for the next few moments. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says this: "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven." I want to preach a little while on this thought: the missing season. The missing season. Lord bless you as you're seated today. If you continue to read Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, you'll find that the writer sums up an individual's life in 28 seasons. Seasons that will take your emotions on a roller coaster ride, the likes of which no one has ever seen. No season is the same. The season may be similar, but seasons are not the same per person, because no life is the same. These seasons are designed by God, allowed to play out during the story of your life. It says there's a time to be born and a time to die. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to get and a time to lose. Seasons are certain, but the timing is not. You see, you can't control when you're born. You can't control when spring ends in the physical or when summer starts. Try as you may, seasons don't delay. And seeing as how God ordains seasons, it's only fitting to think that these seasons are the result of master craftsmanship. It's no surprise that Jesus was a carpenter's son, thus taking on his father's trade. You want to know why Jesus was so patient? Because he was a carpenter. I'm not a carpenter. I don't have patience. Carpenters understand precision. Close enough is not good enough for good carpenters. I got on this kick last year. This was right before the quarantine, or right, I don't know, sometime during the quarantine. I wanted to build a play set for my girls. Now, I can't build a doghouse. I can't build anything. But I got it in my mind. I'm going to build a playhouse. And so I went, and I learned the first thing when you start building is you always underestimate what you're going to need. And so I went and got four by four posts, or six, whatever they were, the big posts, and some boards. I said, all right, I got enough to get started. And this is what I learned. Y'all ready for this? That's going to blow your minds. If you don't start with it square, you'll never make it square. Any carpenters in the house? If it doesn't start, you can't fudge them boards enough to make it look right in the end if it ain't square. And I'm telling you, it would have been cheaper for me to go buy something pre-built, because by the time it was done, I had made about 15 trips to that lumber yard, and I lost my Holy Ghost about a week into that thing. But Jesus was a carpenter. There's not many more trades that require more patience than a carpenter. He understood precision. He understood that everything has to be done with purpose. He didn't figure it out as he went along. His plan was fine-tuned when it came to creation. You see, the first role that God ever filled was a creator. Upon reading the 28 seasons, I began to think about one that was missing. Now, as I began to ponder the missing season, it occurred to me that God left it out on purpose, because it contradicts the very nature of God. And God would not establish something that contradicts who he is or contradicts his nature. Listen to me, TPC. The season that you will not find in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is you will never find a season to quit. You will never find a season to throw in the towel. You will never find a season to walk away, because it doesn't agree with the nature of God. When God started something, he never gave up on it. He never walked away from it. It didn't matter how bad it got, how heavy the cross became, how many times they hit him on the back. There is not a season under the sun for somebody to throw in the towel. And I've come with a word of strength for you today. It doesn't matter how bad it is. It doesn't matter how heavy it is. It doesn't matter what your world is doing right now. There's not a season to give up on God. Bible says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. I read a story about the Navy SEALs. Many people that attempt the more than year-long period of vigorous formal training quit. Early in their training, candidates go through what is known as Hell Week. I remember it was the worst 5.5 days of my life. I'm just joking. I didn't go through it. They endure a continuous cycle of the hardest physical and mental exercises anywhere in the world. And candidates are allowed at most only 4 hours of sleep per night during the entire week, because Hell Week is designed to weed out those who are not the best of the best. In fact, 2/3 of the candidates don't make it. And during Hell Week, a bell is stationed outside the dining hall. And when you feel that you can't take it anymore, you can call it quits by simply going over there and ringing the bell. No questions asked. No one's going to say a word. You simply go ring the bell and you go to your barracks. You get a hot meal and then you take a bus home. And many strong and capable men have one by one rang that bell. Not because they couldn't take it physically, but because they lacked the mental fortitude to not give up. One instructor of the Navy SEALs said this: the body can take nearly anything. It's the mind that needs training. This is why the writer said in Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because living for God is hardly any physical as much as it is right here. And you're in a war between the ears because the enemy is chipping away at your mental fortitude. But somebody needs to understand, this isn't hell week, it's hell eternity. And if we allow the enemy to get us in our mind, then we'll miss out on eternity with God. You've got to turn the quit option off and realize the Bible says, rejoice not against me, oh mine enemy, for I may be down right now, but I'm getting back up again. I'm not going to stay in my pity party. I'm not going to live in this mental mess, but God is for me. In his book, The Adversity Quotient, Paul Stoltz points out that for years, the predominant measure of potential was a person's IQ. But there are too many people with high IQs who are failures. So he argues that there is something that predicts success much better than IQ. And it's called AQ, adversity quotient. How much can a person endure? The person who simply refuses to quit has a high AQ. I remember talking to a guy one time who was delivered from the bar rooms. He was a brawler. And he said, when I walked into a bar, I didn't worry about the guy at the bar that was running his mouth. He said, I worried about the guy in the corner that would never say a word because he'd lose his ever-loving mind. And he'd whip everybody in that bar because he just didn't care. And you know the greatest liberty that you can walk in is when you stop caring what people think. That's right. When you stop caring what your peers think. When you stop worrying about who all your mess ups and your failures, and you just say, I'm going to do it for one day at a time. If I can get up today and live for God, then I can get up tomorrow and live for God. And I can get up the next day and live for God. And I can just keep doing it over and over, but you just can't quit. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We understand what happened when Lot's wife turned back. She was turned to a pillar of salt. It was there that we understand if we get distracted, it'll cost us our salvation. I want to tell you a few things this morning. The first thing I want you to know is you're doing better than you think. We're our own worst critics. There's people that the enemy doesn't have to do anything to them. They just do it all to themselves. They get a thought in their mind and they start running with it. And before long, nobody likes them. God hates them. The world stinks. Anybody know anybody like that? Is it the person sitting next to you? Don't raise your hand. But you're doing better than you think. Truth be told, everyone in here struggles with condemnation at some time or another. Condemnation is the enemy's way of getting you to compare yourself against yourself. But you don't compare yourself to others, and you shouldn't compare yourself to yourself. But if you compare yourself to anything, you ought to compare yourself against this book right here. Because this is the only thing that we're going to be judged by. We're not going to be judged by our opinions. We're not going to be judged by the person next to us. Bible says they that compare themselves amongst themselves are not wise. Come on. Oh. Well, if only I could do it like that. If only I could sing like that. If only I could pray like that. You know what I'm talking about. We do this mental game. If only I could worship like that. And so we start measuring ourselves against a false standard. And the only standard that we're supposed to measure ourselves by is this book, which represents Christ. Everyone can see things on you, but you can't see it until you look in the mirror. Okay. Anybody ever seen someone that had something on their face and everyone's going, somebody tell them. Somebody tell them. But nobody wants to tell them. Everybody else can see it, but they're not going to see it until they look in the mirror. And there's things in our own lives that everyone else can see. Everyone else can see. But you won't see it until you get in the mirror. The only way you get better is you change your life to fit this book. You don't change this book to fit your life. You look in this and go, okay, I got something that I need work on. And you start changing it against this book. I met a man one time. And if you never know how to start a conversation, I'm going to give you an easy way. You look like you lost weight. Best way to start a conversation. It doesn't matter. It will disarm everybody. And this guy, I was being sincere because he did. It looked like he had lost weight. And he said, man, let me tell you what happened. He had lost like 100 pounds. And he said, let me tell you what happened. He said, I went to the doctor and I got on their scale and I looked at him and said, something's wrong with your scale. And they said, no, sir, there's nothing wrong with our scale. And he said, I realized that I had been avoiding the scale for such a long time because I didn't want to see what it said. This is a scale and people avoid it because they don't want to see what it says, because it'll always tell the truth. But when he saw the truth, he realized he had to start making changes. And when you get on the scale and you start seeing, but why do you think the Bible says, let us lay aside the weights and the sin that doth so easily beset us? It's because when you get on the scale, you start realizing there's things that's hindering your progress. And everybody else can see them, but you have to be the one to point them out. That's why these interventions never work. You know, you get one person in there that's got a problem and 20 people that want to ambush them. It don't work. Because you can have 20 people in there going, you need help, you need help, you need help. But if the one person that needs it doesn't want it, it's not going to happen. You have to want to make progress. You have to want to move out of where you are and move into a dimension that's greater than where you are. Listen to me. Every day you wake up, you got to realize the only person I got to be better than is who I was yesterday. I got to be better than who I was last week and last month. You're doing better than you think. Condemnation and conviction both point out the same thing. I've told you this before. They both point out the same thing, but the motives are different. Condemnation comes from the enemy. It's thoughts. It'll sound something like this. You know how mad you got yesterday. You shouldn't even be lifting your hands right now. You don't even need to go pray. You know how you got in that fight with your husband or your wife. You should be ashamed of yourself. And you got these thoughts going in your mind. Because condemnation wants to push you away from God. But then you'll have the same thoughts come from God. But it sounds like this. I know you got mad at your husband yesterday, but why don't you just come make it right and let's put it under the blood? Because conviction points out the same thing, but God's motives are he wants to pull you closer to him, not push you away. And you got to learn to recognize, is this condemnation I'm dealing with? Is it trying to push me away from God? Or is this conviction that God's trying to prick my heart to say, hey, I know you got struggles. I know you got problems. I know there's things that you got to work on. But my grace is sufficient for you. My blood is sufficient for you. You just keep moving. Don't quit. Touch your neighbor and say, don't quit. Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So you're doing better than you think. And the next thing I want you to know is you matter more than you think. You matter more than you think. We've got to erase this mindset that God loves us less if we mess up. Because we look at God the wrong way. I used to think that every time I messed up, I was starting over. And I was in this cycle that I couldn't break. And one day, my girls were little, probably 4 or 5 years old, my oldest. And she came up to me and she did something wrong. And I dealt with the issue, loved all over, and she went rocking on alone. And the Lord whispered into my spirit, did she go back to being a newborn? And I said, what do you mean? And the Lord said, did she go back to being a newborn? I said, no. He said, how old is she? I said, she's exactly the same. He said, that's right. And when you mess up, you don't go back to being a brand new convert. We cover it with love and we cover it with the blood and you just keep on growing and you're still the same level of maturity. You just keep on living. And when I got it, it set me free from so much condemnation and guilt because we think that God's love for us is based upon how well we're doing. If I'm doing really good, God loves me. But if I'm just botching this whole thing up, God hates me. Wrong. Anybody ever have kids that did things you didn't approve of? Did it change your love for those kids? No. You still loved them the same. God's the same way. On your best day, he loves you. And on your worst day, he still loves you the same as on the best day. Now that doesn't mean he approves of what you're doing, but he still loves you just like he loved you. And you got to get this mindset. The Bible said, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want you to think about what I'm fixing to tell you. When you were born, God placed value inside of you.
Amen.
That value and that purpose cannot be erased by what you go through. The value is still there. Just like he told Jeremiah, I ordained you a prophet to the nations. In other words, Jeremiah, before you breathed your first breath, I knew what you were going to be, and I put value in you. So, imagine you go to the bank, and you get a brand new, crisp, $100 bill. The treasury has set the value of that $100 bill. It was established upon its inception that this is the value of this bill. And you take it and go buy groceries with that bill. The bill then finds its way into the hands of somebody that's corrupt and they bribe someone with a bad business deal. Then that bill lands in the pocket of a drug dealer. Finally, it lands in the purse of a prostitute. And eventually the same $100 bill makes its way back to you. It may look different. It may have a bunch of wrinkles. It may be dirty. It may be feel like it has been through the wringer. But when it finally makes its way back into your hands, what is the value of that bill? It's still the same value that was established upon its inception. Regardless of what it lived through, regardless of how dirty life made it, regardless of how many trials and tribulations it went through, I want you to know today that the same value that was placed upon you when you were born is still inside of you today, regardless of where life has brought you, regardless of what you have been through. God's saying, I still We got to stop letting the enemy dictate who we are based upon our failures and our faults. Finally, I want to tell you this. Don't give up on God because he's never given up on you.
Amen.
Never. People use God as an excuse to stop living for him. But think about it. People say the grass is greener on the other side, and this is what I say. Yeah, but it still has to be mowed. The rain falls on the just and the unjust.
Amen.
Honey, if I'm going to be broke, I'd rather be broke in the church than broke out of the church. People run from this because they don't understand what God is doing in their life, and they get mad at God. Listen to me. It's not a God problem. He didn't give up on you when you didn't do what you said you would do. So why would you give up on God when you think that he didn't do what he said he would do? God's never wrote a check that he can't cash. God's never made a promise that he can't keep. And just because you don't understand what God is doing doesn't mean he doesn't know what he's doing. You just gotta wake up every day and say, I'm gonna keep on living. For God, I'm going to keep on doing what I know I'm supposed to do, even when I don't understand it. Stand with me right now. God is not in the business of replacing damaged people. He's in the business of fixing damaged people. If heaven was all about perfection, God would be there by himself. It's not about being perfect. It's about striving to be like Christ.
That's right.
He understands that we're flawed. He understands that we're marred. He understands that we're limited by the flesh that we're trapped. And he's not expecting you to understand what he does, because scripture says, lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. We're at a place this morning, I feel in the spirit, that people in this room have tried to lean onto their own understanding far too long. And you're getting frustrated because you don't understand. You don't understand. And frustration brings anger, bitterness, and a host of these emotions that you can't control. And you start walking down a road that you never intended to walk down. This is what I've noticed when people walk away from God. It always takes longer to get back than it did to leave. If you read the scripture, when Jesus was a young boy and his parents, Bible says they went one day journey and realized that he wasn't with them. But it took 3 days to find him. Because it always takes longer to get back than it does to leave. And I just feel this morning that somebody has been looking at the door. Because what you're facing and your frustrations are almost unbearable. But I've come this morning to tell you there's not a season to quit. It doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. Heads bowed and eyes closed as our singers come. This song that they're going to sing again, it says this: all my life, he has been faithful. There's never been a person that can say that God has been unfaithful, because it goes against his very nature. He cannot be unfaithful. And we're fixing to make our way to this altar. And we're not going to come begging God for anything. We're not going to come crying, pleading our case before him. We've already done enough of that in private. But when we come up here, we're going to begin to worship him. And we're going to begin to get our mind focused and renewed. So when we walk out of here, we're walking out of here like God intended for us to walk out of here. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm facing. You're right. You're right. I don't know what you're facing, but I do know who is facing it with you. I do know that scripture says he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I do know that the Bible says that we can cast all our care upon him, for he cares for us. I've got more scripture to tell you that he's for you than you have to tell me he's against you. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here today, you say, preacher, I just need the help of God to make it through what I'm going through. I'm walking down a road that I don't know what's happening, and I feel like my mind's about to go crazy. Nobody's looking around. I'm just wanting you to acknowledge where you're at spiritually. I want you to lift one hand in the air right now. Nobody's looking around. This is just between you and God. We're just being honest, saying, God, I need help. God, I need your strength right now. God, I need you. My marriage is in turmoil. My job is going crazy. My mind feels like it's about to be fried. And I feel like I'm holding on with one thread left. And I just need your help, God. I'm telling you, the strength of God is here for somebody today. You can put your hands down as they begin to sing. I'm opening this altar for every person. If you want to make your way down here and do nothing but lift your hands and worship God with us, I want you to come right now. God's here to help you today. God's here to strengthen you today. God's here to renew you today. And I want you to focus on how good God is. He's a good God. He's a good God. All my life you have been faithful. Reach out to him right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and love him right now. Let's love him together. Let's love him together.
What a great word we heard this morning from Brother Stevenson. Thank you so much for being here this morning. You're dismissed. Go in the name of Jesus.